The answer lies in the heart of battle, although sometimes the answer lies in my pants. Just kidding. This is Ryu from Super Street Fighter 4, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Todd and the rest of the Twig Crew right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hadouken!
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well guys, today is Friday, March 21st, 2014, and well, I've had kind of a crappy day already. Went outside today to go pick up dinner, and went to Orangeville, drove, but before I got in my car, took about the worst fall you can imagine. Fell down right on my ass, basically did the splits. Luckily, my pants didn't split, but I've got gravel stuck in my right hand and in my right knee. Jesus, this hurts. So if I sound like I'm a little wincy today in pain, that would be why. But as always, the show must go on. So we're going to be talking about a number of different things. There's been a lot of breakthroughs in the scientific community this week. So I've got some pretty cool news about some science involving the Big Bang Theory. No, not the television show, because fuck that show. Also have music about an 80s cartoon that's going to be turned into yet another live-action property. We're also going to be talking about a surprise guest star on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And lastly, the end of civilization as we know it as being predicted by a NASA-backed study, and conspiracies afoot about UFO researchers being murdered. So let's kind of start this off with the big news, and I mostly want to get this story out of the way because it's really kind of hard to explain. So earlier this week, there was a pretty big announcement that they have observed Big Bang ripples from the universe's birth. And this was actually first predicted by Albert Einstein. And basically what these things are, the waves in question are called gravitational waves and are produced when a massive object accelerates through the fabric of space-time, causing ripples. They talk about this more in Einstein's theory of general relativity, although they've never been directly detected. So these scientists over at Bicep 2, along with these scientists working at the South Pole, have announced the first clear sign of gravitational waves. And they found this in light in maps of the earliest light emitted after the Big Bang. And there are these swirl-like objects. Now, they didn't expect to find these simply because they would be incredibly weak. And perhaps you couldn't even see them because it's been so long since this actually happened. Now, this team that had done this research has spent the last couple of years, last 3 years in fact, trying to rule out, well, did we detect this? Is this true? Let's try and debunk ourselves. So they ruled out stuff like gravitational distortion, dust, and even errors in the telescope they were actually using. Now, I'm actually going to post a video to this. There's a woman who explains this using a towel, an apple, and a ping pong ball. And it explains it a lot better than I have. But I think that's incredibly cool news that we're starting to understand more about how our universe came to be and where it's going. And they're even talking about how this may actually tie into the multiverse theory, how there's multiple universes and we just may be one of them. As you guys can hear, I still have my nice cough. But yeah, I think this is incredibly cool science. I'm excited for it because, like I said, I love science. I love the fact that this is starting to be big news. And there could even be a Nobel Prize for this sort of thing just because we're detecting stuff that happened seconds after the universe came into being. And, well, while we'll never directly observe this again because, well, it's just the way it is, cool stuff. I'm glad to see it make headlines around the world. And there you have it. So like I said, please check out the YouTube video that I've posted in this episode post to give you a little bit more information than what I've given you. But there you go. Now, one of the things that I'm a huge fan of, and you guys should probably know this, given that I used to do cartoon streams on Friday nights, which I do eventually hope to return doing once I get a better webcam. And I get, you know, the time again. So it was announced earlier this week, according to The Hollywood Reporter, that producers are looking on making a Gem and the Holograms movie. And it's going to be directed by the guy who did G.I. Joe 2, G.I. Joe Retaliation, John M. Chu. And I had a lot of fun with the first, or sorry, with the second G.I. Joe movie. In fact, I thought it was way better than the first. Now, the guy who wrote this is a guy named Ryan Landals. And this, and I'm actually going to read a quote from The Hollywood Reporter. According to the producers, Gem is being reimagined for a whole new generation with themes of being true to who you are in a multitasking, hyperlinked social media age. Ryan Landals wrote the script, which, per the producer, centers on an orphan teenage girl who becomes an online recording sensation. She and her sisters embark on a music-driven scavenger hunt, one that sends them on an adventure across Los Angeles in an attempt to unlock a final message left by her father. Well, I'm excited. I actually think this actually really could work. I want to know, are they going to have the cool computer, whose name, Synergy, I think was the name. Are they going to be fighting the Misfits? And I hope there's a, there has to be a huge number of musical scenes in this. which means the potential for the soundtrack to be awesome and the potential for the soundtrack to suck are definitely there. I don't know, I just think this is incredibly fucking cool. I mean, I don't know who I would cast, though. I mean, obviously, singers that are also actors, actresses right now, well, you can probably count Miley Cyrus out of the running. Actually, no, you could probably put her on the Misfits, all things considered. I could see a Taylor Swift in this, sadly enough. And because it's being done by someone who I think very clearly has a love of the 80s, they're going to try and get that feel. I really hope, this is going to sound so stupid, but hear me out. I would love for them to recreate the opening of the cartoon, either as the end credits or as the opening to the movie. That would be cool. And obviously someone has to say truly outrageous at some point, and I'm most certainly sure they will. In fact, if you actually want to dig the whole Gem and the Holograms thing, there was a really good box out put up by Shout Factory a couple of years ago. Lots of really cool special features on it. So I think it was like 50, 60 bucks. I'm not sure how much it is now. But it was a tremendously cool show. I enjoyed it as a kid, despite it being a girl show. Just the music was awesome. And the animation wasn't too bad either. So Gem and the Holograms, coming from John M. Chu, hopefully sometime in the next couple of years. The next thing that I want to talk about, as you guys know, once again, I'm a huge fan of the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And last week, or sorry, this past week rather, we got this Marvel Assembling a Universe special, kind of giving us a look at Avengers 2 Age of Ultron, aka we saw Kick-Ass's Quicksilver and some random person I've never heard of as the Scarlet Witch. Although there was some pretty cool concept artwork of Iron Man fighting the Hulk in the Hulkbuster armor, which was really freaking cool. I'm excited for that. And then the week after next, Captain America the Winter Soldier comes out, and it's supposed to be the best Marvel movie to date. Even better than the Avengers, some people are saying. I don't know, I haven't seen it yet. I am working on trying to get an early preview, if there is one up in Toronto. I guess I'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully my media contacts will not let me down. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the show that supposedly ties everything together in the background. The adventures of Agent Coulson and his team, Ming, Ward, Fitz, Simmons, and Sky. And I'm pretty sure I said May. Either way, Ming-Na. So they had Bill Paxton on a couple weeks ago as Agent Garrett, and now they're tapping on the Goldbergs narrator Patton Oswalt to join the show as Agent Eric Koenig, and he was one of Nick Fury's original Howling Commandos, who was a Nazi originally, and then he died not too recently. Now, it's kind of cool. Patton Oswalt has actually gave a quote related to this casting announcement. I'm not sure when he's going to appear, but here's what he says. As a fan of the series, Oswald has been asking the question many have posed, namely, who is the clairvoyant? When they first told me the character's name, I'll admit the first thing I did is went on Wikipedia and looked up the MODOK character to see if Koenig was maybe his first name before he became MODOK. But it wasn't, laughs Oswald. They kept on talking about the clairvoyant in the show, and I'm like, is it MODOK? Am I MODOK? And it's actually kind of funny they mention that, because that's one theory I had from the moment they mentioned the clairvoyant, and since they've talked about AIM and Hydra in the show, at least in passing, MODOK would be a really cool idea for a villain, and you don't have to do the giant floating head in a chair. You could just have a supercomputer be this person. The clairvoyant could be someone who only exists in phone calls and emails and texts when you see it on the Deathlok guy's screen, or when they have the fancy implants in the eyes, because maybe no one has ever seen the clairvoyant. So that was an idea I had, and I think MODOK would be a tremendously cool idea to drop in the shield. But then again, you gotta think, how would that tie into the Winter Soldier, which I'm presuming they're doing to ramp up when Winter Soldier comes out in just a few weeks, and shield should be ending around the end of April, beginning of May, depending. So I'm kind of wondering how this all ties together, and how they're going to deal with the fallout of Captain America if they are airing these concurrently. Because there was the episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that dealt with kind of, sort of, the aftermath of Thor: The Dark World. That happened like a week later. So I'm kind of curious to see how they'll kind of do this. And funny how we haven't got a casting announcement, or not a casting, an announcement whether S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been picked up for a second season. Considering how much money they're putting into it right now, I'd say it's a pretty safe bet it'll get picked up for a second season to tie into next year's movies with The Avengers 2. We should get Ant-Man. I think it'd be really cool if they somehow talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. Although, I remember someone mentioning that Marvel doesn't have the rights to use the Kree in something that may be tied up with Fox and the Fantastic Four. Not 100% sure on that one, though, but that still would be tremendously neat. So having Patton Oswalt on S.H.I.E.L.D., I think that's going to be tremendously awesome. And I kind of wonder if they gave him this chance, because if you remember, I think it was on Parks and Rec last year, he went on this huge rant on the show where he's talking about how the Marvel Universe crosses over at the Star Wars Universe and Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and all this crap. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It is tremendously funny. And someone actually animated it, too. And eventually it ends up with Chewbacca as a spider on a robot spider, and Wolverine and Cyclops fighting aside like Luke Skywalker or something. I don't know. It's friggin' weird. But funny, though. So moving on to my next piece of news, and this one, kind of serious, so hear me out. So this NASA-backed study, and this works with the National Socioeconomic Synthesis Center, and this was a study led by Safa Motarishi. I'm pretty sure I screwed up his name. He's a mathematician. So what they did is they looked at 5,000 years worth of human history, looking specifically how human civilizations collapsed. The Mayans, the Romans, certain Chinese dynasties, ones in India as well. And they were looking at common factors. So I'm actually going to quote from this, just so you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. So they looked... There can be many reasons for these collapses. Looking at common factors, they produced a simple model that took into account population, how that population was divided into workers, non-workers, and elites, and how the population consumed the resources of nature and accumulated wealth. It also looked at how these factors could produce either a type N collapse, where nature disappears, or a type L collapse, where the labor force of workers disappears. Running through their model through several different scenarios, they found that natural resource depletion could cause an irreversible collapse regardless of other factors, even in equitable societies where the wealth was distributed equally between the workers and the non-workers, or egalitarian societies with only workers. Even then, in these scenarios, avoiding a complete collapse was possible by reducing how much is consumed and by making sure resources were distributed reasonably. However, In scenarios with increasing inequity in the population where non-workers become true elites who accumulate the most wealth and give the workers only a small amount to subsist on, which unfortunately mirrors how our own society is developing, civilization was most vulnerable to an irreversible collapse. As the researchers point out, even the most optimistic of these scenarios still results in doom. And then I'm going to kind of... I've been saying this for years. And obviously because I'm a doomsayer and all that crap. But no, this is not a good thing. And it's funny because other articles I've read relating to this is NASA's trying to backpedal, saying, no, don't pin this shit on us. But no, I mean, things are kind of screwed up and nothing lasts forever. I mean, the guy who played that instrument while Rome burned, Nero, I can't remember what instrument it was. Someone's going to correct me. So Mike at thisweekingeek.net, that's kind of terrifying when you really think about it. The fact that we could be on a verge of a societal collapse, and it's not going to happen in the next 10, 15 years, so don't worry. Your retirement plans are safe. Not really. Because you look at the aging population, the fact that we can't feed the population that we have, and we're quickly depleting the natural resources of this planet, it's not a good sign. And, you know, just watching these great empires rise and fall, it's proving to be the rule, not the exception. So we're in a bad fucking place, guys. And things aren't looking too good. The fact that we care more about who Kim Kardashian is fucking than the future of space exploration or renewable technology, it's always a side thing to... I guess it's kind of like that old saying, bread and circuses. Give them entertainment. And that's kind of where we're going. I mean, we don't worry so much about the homeless in our streets, the hungry in Africa or India or wherever. We care more about Survivor and what's going to happen on the next episode of General Hospital or something. I really believe we can turn this around, because they actually do say in the study, it's possible. Now, what they're saying is, the best case scenario with the elites is that we have 350 years before our resources are gone, and then civilization follows over the next 150. So, I don't know. And this is kind of terrible, because they're saying this may not be just for those people who come afterwards. This could be the entire human race. So, I don't know. Hopefully we'll figure this out, and because we got a lot more problems on this planet than a lot of people are actually talking about. But that kind of leads me into my next story. And this one, take with a grain of salt, if you will. I believe in UFOs. I believe in alien life, because I think it's, frankly, pardon my language, fucking ignorant that there's an entire universe out there and we are alone. You are retarded if you believe that. Just because space is huge. Now, it's not to say we didn't miss the fun, because those civilizations could have come up before ours, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So, this comes courtesy of Yahoo News, and the headline is, Are UFO experts being murdered? And a new book is looking to investigate the patterns of these deaths. And the new book is called Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind. That's by Nick Redfern. Comes out this summer. And they talk about those recent case of a 44-year-old UFO researcher named Paul Vigay, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, who was a leading crop circle researcher and actually had worked on Mel Gibson's movie Signs. He was found floating off the coast of Portsmouth, and I'm not sure where this is, because I don't know what the short form is. It's H-A-N-T-S, Hants, I don't know where that is, back in February 2009. Now, they also talk about other murders. There was UFO researcher Philip Schneider. This guy became increasingly fearful of his life because he said government vans were following him around. People tried to run him off the road. And it wasn't until 1996 in January where a friend broke into his apartment in Wilsonville, Oregon, and found his dead body. Now, he'd been dead for several days. Now, at first, they thought he died of a stroke. Then an autopsy had found that rubber tubing had been wrapped around and knotted around his neck. You know what? Something's there. Now, they actually do talk about another guy in the article. He's a prominent activist, Stephen Bassett, and he supports the idea that the U.S. government has regularly murdered innocent citizens who tried probing in the UFO cases like Roswell or have tried to get together the government to reveal the truth about UFOs. Now, he spoke at the International UFO Conference, actually winning the Researcher of the Year. He says, what we are looking for are death clusters, which by their nature and proximity sit out from the background noise. I try to be careful with my language in order to minimize upset with family members. There are a number of death clusters relating to various issues over the past 20 years. If government connected, not good. Not good at all. This is a difficult matter to engage as it is impossible to prove individual events. What I am doing is raising concern over a death cluster, which stands out from the background noise. The risk... This is risky, as family members could be offended. I never say with a certainty that a particular case is a murder, and I wouldn't go there at all if it wasn't the only option to perhaps prevent further such deaths publicly, or publicity. Now, they say this goes back as far back as the Roswell crash back in 1947, and, well, whether you think something happened at Roswell or not, there's papers talking about it, and enough witnesses have come forward that something happened. But, as a person who believes in the strange and the unusual, is the government murdering UFO scientists? It wouldn't surprise me. It really wouldn't. But then again, if they were, you'd think they'd be able to keep a tighter lid on it, personally. But then again, in this era of Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks and everything, information, however small, is bound to get out. In fact, I've actually scoured WikiLeaks looking for information related to UFOs and haven't found anything I really understand. So, who knows? Is the government murdering people? I don't know, but if you want to find out, you can check out this book, Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind by Nick Redfern. They actually mentioned a secondary book you may want to check out. And this guy seems pretty good. His name is Nigel Watson, and it's called the UFO Investigations Manual. And they talk about many of the other outlandish stories where people have been killed. However, he does say that there seems very extreme to murder people, especially over decades, when there are easier ways to discredit UFO researchers. And there are actually, I remember reading this somewhere, so don't quote me on the source, because I can't tell you, that they actually had people from the Air Force going to UFO conventions to discredit people, which really wouldn't surprise me, just in case. But they could be looking to see if people knew about military aircraft, which most UFOs likely are. But if they're not, go where the party is, so to speak, right? So anyway, guys, that's what I have to tell you from the world of nerd this week. A lot of sciencey stuff. So I really hope you guys will check out that video on the Big Bang explained through a towel. And check out Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And hopefully check out Truly, Truly Outrageous Gem. Like I said, go pick up that box set from Shout Factory. It is fantastic. So until next time, guys, stay tuned. We got episodes of Future Imperfect. I should have a new rad coming out next week on Infamous Second Son and Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, as well as a couple of other games. And yeah, so until next time, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time right here on thisweekingeek.net.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Ha 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 ha! Okay, okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die, 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 die. Holy crap. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, my God. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.